And what if God, omnipotent, that means he's all powerful, omniscient, he knows everything, omnipresent, that means he's everywhere, immutable, that means he doesn't change. What if God had all that and he didn't have love? And we would be in trouble. He would just wipe folk out just like that. You see, Paul says, and even if I had faith so that I could remove mountains. See, you could have faith where you could say to the mountain, move, but because you don't have love and I don't like you, I'm going to put the mountain on top of your house. See, what good is that doing? You know, you can have this great power, and if it's not mixed with love, it means nothing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part two of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover.
And you know what? I run into a lot of youth. Sad to say, sad testimony on the part of the youth, but they tell me that the reason that they stopped going to church was because of adults. Whether adults said something to them, you know, and once again, I know sometimes you have to step the kids and you gotta speak to them, you know, straight off the cuff. I understand that. But somehow, you got to find a way to incorporate love in that. And you got to find a way to say, well, look, even though I'm going to have to, you know, deal with you and get you straight on this situation right here, that doesn't diminish the fact that I love you and that I'm going to reach out and express my love towards you. A lot of times, as adults, we want to be the disciplinarian and bring down the hammer. And then kids are running around and you know, they're impressionable and they're being molded and shaped. And if we don't somehow go back and follow up with some love, if we just let them out there hanging, man, they get their spirits get wounded. And I've just talked to so many young adults and maybe middle-aged adults right now that have no interest and no desire in the things of the church. And it's because they've been offended by someone who was to them, and you know what? In my mind, there was no doubt about that person loving God. In my mind, there was no doubt about that person being genuine for Christ. But in that child's mind, they say, well, so-called Christian. So-called Christian. So to them, you can be a deacon, trustee, serving for years and years and years. But if you haven't shown them love, what does the fact that it mean that you're a deacon? What does the fact, does it mean that you are a trustee or that you sing in the choir? It means absolutely nothing because all you are to them is a hypocrite. All you are to them is a hypocrite because you haven't mixed what it is that you've been gifted to do. God has gifted you. And that was the problem with the Corinthians. The Corinthians had all the gifts. They were gifted above measure, but they didn't have love. They were fussing and fighting. And you know, that's the other thing, too. You know, kids say, well, you know what? All adults do is bicker and fuss and fight. Y'all, I don't have anything to do with that. See, it goes back to what Cynthia was saying earlier. What a powerful testimony, you know, not only to the world, but even to the people right here, the youth right here, when they see adults working together and loving each other, showing this agape love, when they see adults exercising their gifts, coming together in the spirit of love. Man, that's a statement not only to the world, but it's a statement to us right here in the body of Christ. The power of love. You see, love takes the ordinary and the mundane. You know, I often wonder, you know, sometimes the biggest churches are not necessarily led because the pastor is this great preacher. The biggest churches are not where the greatest worship is, even though more and more people are getting caught up in that. You know, I've seen some churches where the music was kind of, you know, it was good, but it was, you know, not like get you up shouting music. And I've seen churches where the pastor pretty much stood up and kind of at a equal level kind of delivered his sermon, and the churches are packed. And I look at that and I say, well, what's going on there? And you know what it is? There's something in that body. There's a spirit there that keeps drawing people back. It's not necessarily the pulpit. It's not necessarily the worship. But somewhere in there, man, people's needs are being met. Somewhere in there, they're experiencing the love of God, as we say, that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast. What makes a difference in the gifts? The difference is made in the gifts when love is in the mix. Just like making those collard greens. Put some love in it. Oh, you'll bring it to life. You'll raise them collard greens from the dead when you put love in them. The gifts. So the first thing that we see as we look at it here, eloquent speech minus love equals a bunch of noise. The second thing is supernatural abilities minus love equals nothing. Supernatural abilities minus love equals nothing. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Supernatural abilities without love means absolutely nothing. You can be Superman, Batman, you can be the Green Hornet, you can be Underdog, you can be Meteor Man, you can have all these superhuman abilities, but suppose Superman, think about this for a minute. Suppose Superman didn't have love. Help, Superman, help! People in trouble. Help, Superman, help! See, what good is Superman if he's not gonna help me? What good is all that strength you got, Superman? What good is all that power you got, Superman? I'm down here. You know, you gotta be like Underdog. When Polly is in trouble, I am not slow. It's hip, 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 and away I go. You know? See, Underdog had the power, but if Polly was hollering out and he didn't love her, she would just be in trouble. And that's the point that Paul's making here. Man, you can have the gift of prophecy. You know, prophecy means to be able to foretell, that means what I'm doing now foretell is to preach the word. Or you can have the ability to foretell. You can have the ability to look in the future and see all that's going to happen in the future. You can get you a crystal ball and get you some cards and open up a little house out here on Route 22 and tell people's fortunes. But if you don't have love, what does it mean? He said, I can have prophecy. He says that, and notice, look what he says here. He says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, now look at these, and the Greek calls it the superlatives, when they put that all before these words. Paul is making a point here. And understand, not some, all mysteries. And I have all knowledge. And though I have all faith. See, you know, he's taking this to the nth degree. He says that I can have it all. He said, I can have all knowledge and I can have all faith. That, you know what? And what is it? I could be God himself. If I, you know, look, these are characteristics that are characteristics of God. Understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, and all, you know, we're getting into category talking about God here. So you could be God. And if you have not love, it means absolutely nothing. Man, what if God, omnipotent, that means he's all powerful, omniscient, he knows everything, omnipresent, that means he's everywhere, immutable, that means he doesn't change. What if God had all that and he didn't have love? Man, we would be in trouble. He would just wipe folk out just like that. You see, Paul says, and even if I had faith so that I could remove mountains. See, you could have faith where you could say to the mountain, move, but because you don't have love and I don't like you, I'm going to put the mountain on top of your house. See, what good is that doing? You know, you can have this great power, and if it's not mixed with love, it means absolutely nothing. I can have all faith. I can have this supernatural ability to trust God. I mean, I can call things into existence as though they were not. I can get down, and we need $1 million or so to build this new sanctuary, and I can have the faith and have that money right here tomorrow. And we can have $1 million in the bank tomorrow. But if I don't have love, if it's just for Bethany Baptist Church, where we can just come inside, it's us four no more, and shut the door, where we're not opening it up to the people outside and inviting people in so that, you know, one of the things, every Friday when I'm here, they ask me to come in and pray for the master's kitchen. And when I come in and pray to open up for the master's kitchen, you know one thing I pray? Every time I pray, Lord, I ask that everyone who would come through these doors today would sense and feel the love of God. You can have $1 million. You can have a great edifice. And if it's not motivated and the concern is not driven out of love, it means absolutely nothing. This agape love. Eloquent speech minus love equals a bunch of noise. Supernatural abilities minus love equals nothing. And then finally, sacrificial activities minus love equals nothing. Look what he says in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This is the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, he was seeking eternal life. And in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, the thing that grips me in that story is that this young man, all he had to do was sell his possessions and give them to the poor and follow Jesus. And Jesus says that you would have eternal life. But this is the problem that I have with that. This is the problem that I have with that. And it comes back here to 1 Corinthians 13. Because it says In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I don't have love, it means nothing. So here's this rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus seeking eternal life. He says, I've done all these things. I've kept all these commandments. And he says that Jesus tells him, well, sell what you have, give to the poor. But what if he'd have did that without love? If he did it without love, what would it have meant? If he did it because, you know, some of you husbands know what I'm getting ready to say right now. So I know your wife ain't going to give you one of them elbows, all right? Sometimes men will do things just so that they don't have to hear their wife. Now, Pastor Glaze just renewed his vows last week, so when I do it, I do it, if my wife asks me, I do it because I love her. I do it because I love her. I got that agape love for my wife. And she tell me, I'm going to do it because I love her. But I've had some guys, you know, as a matter of fact, not even guys here at Bethany, you know, they're somewhere else. They said that the only reason they do it because they don't want to hear their wife's mouth. You know, well, Paul said, if you've done it and you don't have love, then what did it mean? Well, your wife might have got done what it is that she asked you to do, but you didn't get any points in heaven. You got absolutely no points with God for that one, baby. All right? None at all, because you didn't do it with love. And so it comes down to this matter of, you know, we can say that we're making these sacrifices, and we can say that we're doing these things, and if we don't do them with love, if we don't do it with love in our heart, they mean absolutely nothing. He says that if I give all that I have to the poor and don't do it with love, it means nothing. Oh, it's a blessing to see Friday afternoons when the people of the community come in and to see the people that work here in the kitchen just showing love. Man, just showing love. That excites me. That's what God is looking for. You know, people who will show love. You know, when my mother had passed away and I was dealing with that and the brothers had filled in for me here at the pulpit, you know, this is my thing. You know, I'm going to be in church somewhere. You know, whether I come here or somewhere else. Now, I didn't go that Sunday when she passed away because we knew that it was right at the end. But you know what? I'm going to be in church somewhere. And I went to a church that next Sunday, I believe it was when Brother Carl preached. And you know what? When I walk into church, you know, this is me. I just want to see how many people are going to recognize me and greet me. Not recognize me from the pastoral sense, because a lot of times I go to churches, I'll go somewhere where people don't know me. All right? Because I know I've been to churches, and as soon as I walk in the door, they'll call one of the ushers, then they want me to come up there. One time I went to a church, and the church service started at 11 o'clock, and I intentionally went late because I didn't want to sit up and I just didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do anything. I intentionally went late just so I'd have to go up there. As soon as I walked in, pastor got the usher, called me up front. I went up there, and the pastor leaned over to me, "You up this morning, Doc?" I said, the Bible said, be ye ready. All right, be ye ready. So most of the time when I go, I try to go somewhere where people don't know me. And so I went to this church where I knew nobody, for the most part, knew who I was. And just went in to see how many people were going to, you know, just greet me, you know, as I came in. And I walked by folk, and they just kind of, you know, some of them didn't look at me. Some of them acknowledged me. And I think that there was maybe two or three people the whole time I was there that greeted me. And you know what I said? I said, oh, God, I hope Bethany is not like this. Oh, God, I hope that we are not like this, that, you know, we will come and sacrifice in ministry. You know, we will come early to set up, and we will come to teach, and we will come to practice and rehearse. We will come to do all this and miss it. Because we don't have love. And I sat there, and eventually I got up, and there was somebody there that finally recognized me. I mean, they knew me from outside of the church, and then they came over and started talking to me, and then they started introducing me to people. But you know what? It just kind of made me think, God, I pray that this is not Bethany Baptist Church. I pray that though we give to the poor, and though we give our bodies to be burned, though we give sacrifices, though we come and give our tithes and offering, though we come and serve God in ministry, and we don't have love, it means nothing. Man, you don't know. I didn't want anybody to carry on a conversation with me. I didn't want anybody to come and open up the Bible and meet the needs that I had. I didn't want that. I just wanted somebody to say, hey, it's good to have you here this morning. Praise God. It's good to see you. Nobody saw me. I'd never been to that church before. You know, I wasn't a familiar face. But see, we can come in and we can become so locked in and so focused that we miss this whole opportunity that God has given us to love. One day a man went to a church, and he got there early and parked his car, and somebody pulled in and said to him, hey, that's my place. That's where I always park. And then he went to Sunday school, and as he got to Sunday school, he sat down and somebody said, hey, you're sitting in my seat. That's my place. And then as he went into the worship service, he sat down in one of the seats, and somebody came to him and said, hey, man, that's where I sit. You took my place. And as the congregation began to pray, and they would pray, oh, God, we thank you that you have saved us, and we just pray that the Spirit of Christ would dwell among us, and we pray that Christ himself would take up residence with us. And as they began to pray, the man stood up. And as he stood up, they saw his hands were bloody. And they saw his feet were bloody. And somebody asked him, well, what happened to you? And he took off his hat. And all of a sudden, you could see the crown of thorns around his head. And it was Jesus. And he looked at him and he said, I took your place. Would to God that we become so locked in and so selfish that we miss that even if Christ himself came here, that we would miss the fact because we are not exercising this love that God has given us to exercise. When you think about what Christ did for us, and he died on the cross, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was ridiculed, they put a spear in his side, they spat on him, they cussed at him, they gave him vinegar, and he died on the cross. And the only thing that he prayed in the end, right before he went to the cross, now there's a lot of things he said on the other side of the cross, but one of the last things he prayed as he went to that time, he said, Father, I pray that they would become one, even as you and I are one. Here the man was getting ready to go to the cross. And what was his prayer? His prayer was that we would be one, that we would be unified, that we would work together because of what he did. Somebody said, if that isn't love, the ocean is dry. If that isn't love, there's no stars in the sky. If that isn't love, then the sparrow. That's love. That's love. That's love.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part 3 of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part 2 of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.